Today's daf is daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. We're holding the second line from the top of the Amid where the Gemara begins. You'll recall we already dealt with this issue yesterday when we had a Mishnah Masechtas Peah, which the Gemara quoted on Kuf Lamed Beis Amid Aleph, and then Rabbi Yossi, the safe of that Mishnah on the Amid Beis. And the Gemara concluded that Rav Nachman was asked, how do you hold? And Rav Nachman says, I hold like Rabbi Yossi. And what does Rabbi Yossi say? Rabbi Yossi says that if a husband were divvying out pieces of all of his assets and giving some of them to his children and part of it to his wife, even though the part that he gave to his wife was only a sliver, if she was there and he was giving out the rest of the estate to the boys, says Rav Nachman, if she is quiet and she says nothing, then she is mecheles al ksuvasa. What's the reason why she's mecheles? Kimin shaso shutef bein habonim, since the husband kind of elevated her to the status of a shutef together with his boys, of the ksuvasa there she's mecheles on her ksuva. And you recall that the Gemara in the Rishbam explained that Rav Nachman holds l'halacha like Rabbi Yossi, and you need only one of the two. Either that she says, I am mekabel upon myself, that I am moichel my rights to the ksuva, or even if she doesn't say it befeirish, if he writes to her and gives her a sliver of property, at the same time he's giving property to his boys, says Rav Nachman, he elevated her to the status of a shutta ben abonim, and therefore, even with her shtika, even if she says nothing, she loses her ksuba.
Does a sliver of property have to have a minimal value relative to her ksuba?
No. Apparently not. Because the Gemara doesn't say anything. Gemara just says, he gave her a karka koshu. Koisim chosav avonav, and he gave ishtoi karka koshu, abyssal. And then she received it, and she was shaitekis. The reason why she's moichelis is because she has the right to go and protest and say, hey, what are you doing? You'll remember the Gemara was talking about certainly a shchimra. As far as the Ibori is concerned, we left that off as an iboidli ifshita. We have to wait for Eliyahu Hanavi. But certainly by a shchimra. So shchimra is now in the process of divvying up and allocating his nechasim. And he says, my three boys should get third, a third, a third. Oh, and I'm going to give a little sliver to my wife. Gives them 95% and gives her 5% of the estate. She could and she should go and say, my darling husband, what are you doing? Don't you remember I have to have a ksuva? He doesn't say anything. She doesn't say anything. So therefore, she is moichelis.
But you're presuming that she's abaki, that she knows that this law.
We're assuming that she knows that her ksuba contains her ultimate right as to how she's going to live post-mortem after her husband passes away. That's a very basic need of all women.
She probably doesn't know that she loses the ketubah, she gets a little present.
The Gemara gives her more credit than you're giving her. That the women knew that the ksuba is, that's her lifeline after her husband passes away or after he gives her a get. And so therefore, if she is now getting that little sliver and he's giving away everything else to all the other boys, she should say, hey, what are you doing? You know, I need my ksuba. You're just giving me this little sliver. The fact that she accepts it, said Rabbi Yossi yesterday, she is asor shutav bein habana, made her a shutav. She's now elevated. Oh, ich bin auch a grace knacker. I'm not just going to get a portion of ksuba. I'm a shutav. Oh, shutav. Other ksuvasa. That's what we said yesterday. And then the Gemara brought two cases, and then we're up to the third case. The two cases were all defining this halacha of the ksuvasa, when does she lose the ksuba. The first case was, what happens if the husband, instead of giving her a piece of land, gave her peirois metaltlin, gave her a nice amount of metaltlin peirois, would you say with that, she's mecheles ksuvasa? Said the Gemara, no. The only time we're talking about a mechila is if she got a piece of land. She got trees, she got land, she got peiros mechubarim, but you're talking about metaltlin, avadanish, she wouldn't go and lose her ksuba just because the husband is giving her some metaltlin. Then the Gemara gave a second case. And the second case was, This is two lines from the bottom of the Amud. Hahudi Amulahut Tiltzel Lebrat, the Tiltzel Lebrat, the Tiltzel Yitis. He gave away a third of all of his property. One third to one daughter, one third to another daughter, one third to his wife. Now, that third that he gave to his wife was not sufficient to cover the entire ksuba. But once again, since she got a piece and she didn't say anything, she's moicheles. And the Gemara said, what happens if new property comes in subsequently? He was a shchimra, and Baruch Hashem, after that he had a refuah, or miraculously one of his parents or someone passed away and left him a nice Yerusha, and now that Yerusha is still his when he's still alive, would she be mechelis the gabi those other nechassim? So the Gemara takes on the double parshit that any type of mechila would only be vis-a-vis the nechassim that the husband is allocating and distributing. However, anything that comes in subsequently, then avada she can still collect her ksuba from that. Moreover, says the Gemara, what happens if the very new nechassim that come in is because Nebuch, one of the daughters, passed away? Rachmana litzlan. And now you have new nechassim coming back to the original father, to the original husband. She can go and collect from that as well. She was not mecheles vis-a-vis newly acquired nechassim, even if those new nechassim are really the old nechassim just being recirculated or regenerated. Now the third case that we're having now, again the second line from the top of Kuflam and Gimel, again is telling us the parameters of this halacha that the wife is mecheles tzuvasa. So who did Bal Gimel inechse? Third line from the top, liitzei ule b'nei. He went and split up the nechassim, both to his children as well as to his wife, and shayir chad dikla. But he didn't give away kol nechassav, he only gave away 99%. He left over chadikah, which he did not go and distribute. All the cases that we had until now was kosav kol nechassav, he gave away everything. Here he didn't give away everything. So what happens now? Sibir Avinu Lemeimar, lesla, el chadikah, the only thing left from her ksuba, she can go and try to attach to that deck, to that tree, because that's the only thing that he didn't allocate. If you're going to go and tell me that she has no other rights to receive the ksuba because of the fact that the husband divvied up and allocated the properties, then didn't she wouldn't have any rights vis-a-vis the dekel either. He's saying this really rhetorically. What he's saying is, since the husband left over one deka which he did not distribute, to that she certainly has a right to go and try to take that for her ksuba, to attach her lien, to be able to go and pay yourself to get funds for the ksuba. So then she has a right to go and attach the other nechassim that the husband allocated to the other children. What is this ahu, this third case, coming to tell us? It's coming to tell us that this din of the ksuba is only when the husband distributed everything. She was present, she heard, she got even a little sliver, and she didn't say a word, so we say that she is moichelis. She is moichel on her ksuba. However, if she left over, the husband left over something, even if it's only one dekel, he didn't give away everything, then she says, what do I have to go and start being moche now? Let's see how much this dekel is worth. Maybe it'll turn out that this dekel has enough value to cover a sizable portion, perhaps the entire ksuba. And if it doesn't, then I'll figure out what's the value of what the husband gave me, because we started off the case, so she got a piece of the action there too. So she figures, let me first out, we don't have to worry about it today. My husband is Nebuch HaShchimra, let's see what happens, maybe he'll have a fool, maybe he won't. After the shiva, we'll start worrying about the financial implications.
If the sliver covers the value of the ksuba,
then
why should she have any hand in the dekel or anything?
You're 100% right. In many of these cases, talking about that, whatever sliver she got was not sufficient to cover the ksuba. But since she got something, and she was shetekes, she didn't say anything, that's deemed to be, she was mekabel what she received, she was elevated to being a shut of bein abanim, so we say that she is mecheles ksuvasa. Avadi, you're right. If the sliver was more worth more than the ksuva, then there's nothing to talk about. The whole din over here is of the ksuvasa. She lost her rights. So says our Gemara, as long as the husband did not distribute everything, he left a dekel, so she can go and say, you know, die in the tzarasa b'shaita. If and when this situation arises that the husband passes away, we'll wait till after the Shiva, we'll wait after the Shloshim, we'll go and take this dekel to the American Appraisal Society, we'll figure out how much it's worth. If in fact it's worth the full amount of my ksuba, good. So then I will take that dekel as payment to my ksuba. If the dekel is only worth a half of the ksuba, then let's go and see what did my husband give me together with the other banim. If that's worth the other half of the ksuba, that's great. If it turns out that the two together are not enough, says our Gemara, she would have a right to go and attach her lien against the banim's receipt of property. Why? Because when do I say this din of asa should have been a banim and of the ksuvasa, that's only when the husband allocated, distributed everything. If he distributed only 95%, only 99%, he left the chadikla. The same way that she can go and try to attach the lien against the dekel post-mortem, she can also do it against the portion that was allocated to the banim together with her. And with that, we have finished the three cases, all of which are modifying the hilchos of the ksuvasa. What are the limitations? What are the restrictions? And now we're going to get back once again to Rabbi Yochanan ben Breike. Rabbi Yochanan ben Breike, as you recall, said that a father has the right to go and prefer one son over other sons, ben bein habanim, or bas bein habanois, based on a possible boy bein malkuyas banim, therefore give more to one as opposed to the other, give in fact the entire estate to one out of several boys, and leave the others with
one. One clarification with that. Does it have to be in the same level? In other words, can, if he wants to give something to the father, to his father, and he has brothers or children, he can skip them and give it to them?
That's a very good question. So there were two Iboyas Amos a couple of blad ago, and one Iboyas Amos was that as long as he's royally Yorusha, even though not today, but potentially, like you say, he's one of the classes of Yorshim, such as an Av, as we've learned a number of times here in Yesh Nachlin, first the boys would get, the sons would get, no sons you go to the daughters, no daughters then it goes to the father, no father goes to the brothers, exactly like you say. So there was one Yiboyeseva that said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Breike's halacha doesn't only apply to ben bein habanim, but even in such a case where he's preferring a bas bein habanim, or preferring an av, in other words, another category of Yorshim who are not ready, they're not in the bullpen to go and Yorshim, because they're not number one on the list. He's giving to number two and number three. So there was one Iboyesema that in fact, yes, that even Acher b'makim Bas or Bas b'makim Ben, also Rabbi Yochanan Breike holds that that works. However, the main thrust of the Gemara otherwise is the second Iboyesema. Apparently the Gemara feels that's the real teretz, and that is only by ben bein habanim and bas bein habanois, but not giving a father or even an uncle or giving a brother when you have those that the Torah says given to the banim if there are banim. So Amar Avuda Shchimra shekosu kol nechosav liacher, person who's a shchimra and he wrote all his nechosav liacher to someone else. Royin, now we have to go and examine who that other person is that he wrote kol nechosav. If he is within the category of his yorshim, in other words, then bein habanim mishum yerusha, he takes it because it's, he's a yorish like any of the other yorshim. Yes, he was preferred among the yorshim, but you're allowed to b'yoyim hanchiloi as banav esa shi'eloi. He's allowed to go and designate one over the other. The imla, however, what happens if that person is not in the category of roi liyarshay? He's a stranger entirely. What's the din? Noitla mishematana. He can go and get out matana because divrei shchimra ksum ksam dami. Shchimra says, or writes, I'm giving all my nechasim to Pliny. It all goes to Pliny, either mishum yerusha or mishum matana. What's the nafkemina if it's yerusha or matana? The Gemara is going to discuss that at length in another few lines. But in the meantime, what we see l'chayra, because Rav Huna is paskening, if he's royally Yorushai, not Mishim Yerusha, that is only a svar in halacha that we heard from Rabbi Yochanan ben Breike. Because according to Rabbanan, if you use a lashon of Yerusha alone, and it's someone that is not royally Yorushai, he's not going to get anything. The only way, according to Rabbanan, it works, if you throw in the word matana somewhere in the document. Betchila, the emtza, besoif. The Gemara ultimately concluded, even if you're talking about two individuals and two sodois, as long as they're betoch kidei dibur, that he says, I'm giving Yankel bimatona, property A, I'm giving Beryl through Yerusha, property B, even though according to the Rabbanan, normally if you say anything b'Yerusha, that just doesn't work, because according to Rabbanan, you can only give something matana. If you give something b'Yerusha to someone that is not entitled to Yarshin, he's masna malshekosu b'atoira. It doesn't work. Only b'loshe matana. However, even the Rabbanan would agree that if you have the word matana somewhere in the document, that cleanses the poor usage of the term Yerusha, once is good. Now the fact that our Gemara is saying that in Royal Yoshi, Noitlam Yishum Yerusha, that's a giveaway that Rav Kuna holds like a Bioichanan Ben Breika, that as long as you're within the category of Yerushim, you can specify Ben Ben Abanim and you get a Birusha. If it turns out he's not in that category, so he gets Mishum Matan. So now Rav Nachman got a little upset at Rav Kuna. Omli Rav Nachman, Ganva Gnuvi Lomalach. Why are you acting like a ganav? What does that mean?
Wow,
we don't really mean a ganav. He means it's a isvira like Rabbi Yechman Breika. Since it's obvious to me that you hold like Rabbi Yechman Breika, that you're saying that you can be noitel mishum Yerusha ibroili arshay, or that's clearly a Rabbi Yechman Breika halacha. Aim alach Rabbi Yechman Breika the hashmaitach Rabbi Yechman Breika. I mean, it's the hudi azla. It's obvious that your halacha that you are now saying and codifying and declaring, that's like Rabbi Yechman Breika. Because if it was according to Rabbanan, Rabbanan would say, if he uses the Lashon Yerusha, and he doesn't use the Lashon of Matana, and he's not Royli Yarsha, he doesn't get anything. Zero. And you're saying, the Royli Yarsha he gets. Is the Choyra Raya that you hold like Rabbi Yechman Breika. So why didn't you say, Halach Rabbi Yechman Breika? And now, even before Rav Huna has a chance to respond, Rav Nachman is going to be Mulamed Tzchus on Rav Huna, and he says, Dilma ki ha ko amris. Perhaps it wasn't that you gave a shir or a drasha, and then after that you issued a psak. It depends. Otherwise, mishum matana. Perhaps this was a halacha that you recited because of a maise shahaya. What was the maise shahaya? There was a person that unfortunately passed away, or at least he was about to pass away. No, he was a shchimra. The omrule and the people that were present asked him, Yankel, before you pass away to Olam Emes, Nech Suleman, who do you want to give your nechosim to? Timul Aplani, would you want to give it to? Pliny. The omrulehu, and he said, Nu Elaman, Nu Nevedem. Of course I'll give it to Pliny. You know, Pliny was my best son, Chaver, whatever, and therefore, of course, I'm going to give it to him. The Amris Lan Allah, and you said about that. In other words, now this Shaila came in front of Rav Huna. He said, Yo, for Pliny. Does it in fact go to Pliny, or does it go to someone else? Now, again, says Rav Nachman, perhaps Rav Huna, this is what happened. The Amris Lan Allah, and you said about that case. Let's see. Who is the Pliny that we're referring to? Emroi the Yorshe, if he happens to be a person who's within the set of Yarshin, such as Ben Ben Habanim, Ben Mishim Yerusha, then he'll get it out Yerusha. The Imlav, if he's not in that set, but he said, he was a Pliny, who is an Acher, the Noit Mishim Matana. Is that possibly what happened, Rav Huna? Omali and Yah, Hochi Kamina, 100%, Rav Nachman, the way you have understood my Tzak is exactly like you said. It's not that I just said, oh, I'm really Yorushay Bishim Yerushay Mlam Bishim Matana. It was a Maisa Shahaya. So when a Maisa Shahaya, I'm not going to go and start telling him, well, we possibly break him a break, and break him a little bit, no. Bottom line, if a person goes to Ruv, he goes to Bezdin, he goes to Bezdin for a Psak, he doesn't need to know whether the Psak is based on the Rambam, based on the Shulchan Aruch, based on Chivas Rabbi Kiva Eger, Chivas from Soifer. He's just interested, what's the din? So he told them. Whoever that Pliny is, he will be the recipient, either Altsei Yoyrish or Altsei Mekabel Matana, and we get back to our original question, Lamai Hilchasa, what Nafkemina is there if this recipient gets it because he's a Yoyrish or Mekabel Matana? bottom line, he's going to get it. Zokti mar sub rabban bar habal kamid rabban the meima imroili yorishay al manosay nizoynis min a chasid v'yam lav ein al manosay nizoynis min a chasid. I wanted to theorize that perhaps the difference between a yorish and a mekabel matana is whether the almana of this shchimra who never passed away, whether she will be able to go and get mezoinis now from the chosim that the nifter left behind after he passed away, and that he gave and allocated totally to Mr. Plain. And therefore, Imroi liyorishoy, if he's within that set, a category of yorishim, like ben abanim, the amanafsin mezoinis min nechosim, then the almana would go and get mezoinis from the nechosim. Because after all, it says in the Ksuba, Ate Yasish Rebesi, Kumitzim and Chosai, Ate Tilokhun Yugovrin, until you will remarry. But as long as you're staying in my home, you can go and continue to get Mazonis, and that would be an Almona by the Yarsh. The Imlaf, however, we're talking about that he is a Makabal Matana, and Almona Sin Mazonis from the Chosai. So then he gave everything away. Since he gave everything away, there is no Yerusha left for her to go and access, and therefore she would not go and get mezainis.
No strings attached.
She would, of course, still have a right to her ksuba.
Right.
The ksuba has
a prior lien
on anything. If he's giving away matana, mazel tov, but he's giving away mortgaged property, property that has a lien for his wife for the ksuba. But not for the mezainis, says Rishbam. What's mezainis different? Because mezainis loitar from the mishabdi, the reason is because it is an undeterminable amount, and therefore, an indeterminate amount, and therefore, it's in la kitzva, and what happens is, if a person, any person who's married, and has a ksuba outstanding, which says that my wife will continue eating from my nechasim after I pass away, so then every person would be very reluctant to buy any property, because he or she would say, what happens if this fellow passes away, and he has a wife that is a glutton, and or she's not a glutton, she happens to be she eats very, very miserly, but nevertheless, she might not find another husband for the next 100 years, and she's going to eat and eat and eat and eat, and there's not going to be any income, there's only going to be expense. If that's going to come before my rights to the equity of this property, then that would certainly be a major deterrent on the transactions. So therefore, we do not give her a shibud, a lien for mezoinis, only for the amount of the ksuba. The amount of the ksuba, of course, is an amount that you can easily determine, especially if it's only the minimum of the ksuba. It's either 200 or 100, psul or almana, and finish, but not the mezainis.
She can get it both ways. In other words, she eats mezonos while she's still single,
mm-hmm.
and then she's going to get married to Plony later.
Right.
Then a day before she gets married, she said, give me my ketuba.
She can do that. That's right. In back in Masechta Ksuvos, we had that there were two minhagim. There was a minhag in Yehuda and a minhag in Shomron, or Galil, that I think in one of the two places, the Yorishim could go and say, we don't want this gravy train to go on forever. You're going to remain an Alman and you're not going to remarry because of your tremendous devotion and love for our father. It's very, very nice, but Lemaisa, monetarily, it costs us a lot of money. And so therefore, the minhag in one of those makaymas was to go and say, we're going to give you the ksuba right now, lock, stock, and barrel, and now you're on your own and no more mezainis.
This is the sons to the mother?
Yeah.
Or the stepsons.
Stepmother.
Throughout history, stepmothers and stepsons have not always had a...
in-laws.
Affectionate relationship.
Right. Yeah, Jim, hopefully you will soon.
Don't get so scared, it's not so bad.
You'll have these
issues. The in-laws or the wife?
Okay, anyway, we'll talk about that another time. So in the meantime, Zokti Gemara, so Rav Ada Bar Ahava wanted to say that Rav Huna's distinction between whether you're a Yoresh or a Matres or a Kabbal Matana is whether the Almana can continue eating Mazayas. Mm. And if it's a royal Yoresh, the Almana can. It's still part of the Yerusha, and therefore she has a lien, if you will, not really a lien, but she has the right to eat Mazayas from that Yerusha. But if it's a Matana, then she doesn't get it. Omni Rava. Rava says, Migra Gara. What you're doing is like a shtiku min hapachu. You're telling me it, she's worse off than if it's matana. Hash to be Yerusha di araisa. Amris amanasin is zaynik min chosim. If this person is a royally yarshite, meaning like a ben bein habonim, and therefore he's a yoyrish min ha-toyra. You say that nevertheless, her right to receive mezoinis still goes before his rights to go and liquidate the estate and sell and buy and go and come. She has rights to mezoinis, which are prior to his rights as a yoyrish deraisa. In matana, derabonim lekoshke, that we allow for matana, when you say derabonim, we don't mean that you can only give matana derabonim. We mean to say that there's no provision in the Torah for a shchimra or for anyone to go and give a matana and this and that way thwart or avoid through a legal loophole not to have to give Yerusha. If you're giving Yerusha, that's min ha-Torah. Nevertheless, you say the almana can go and continue eating mezainis. So when you're giving matana and derabonim lekoshken, shouldn't you certainly think that the almana wouldn't be entitled to continue eating mezainis? And therefore, Rava pushes away that pshat. Elom Rava, I'll take.
She gave away the properties as a matana.
Correct. To why? Someone who's not a royal yorsha.
Not royal yorsha. So it's a matana.
Right. Third part.
Arm's length transaction. Where would she get, if he gave away, all the property, other than the fact she's got a lien, so she could take for her ksuba, but why should she be nizonis from when there's nothing here to be.
What happens if he would have given all the property away to one of his five sons? One out of five. And now she says, but I need to eat. Would she have a right to go and continue eating, even though he didn't give all the sons, only that particular son?
Is it Yerusha or Matana? Yerusha. He gave it as Yerusha or Matana.
If it's Ben Ben Habonim, it's royally Yerusha, he becomes a Yerusha.
Right, so then she would have.
She would have.
Yerusha, yeah.
Okay, now Yerusha is Minatoyim and Rabban.
Minotaurus.
Even though he has rights Minotaurus to receive this portion,
right.
Nevertheless, the Chacham said the right to Mezoinus goes and preempts that right, that's or at right. least precedes right. that right. Good.
Matana is a different story, though.
Unquestionably, it's a different story. Matana is not sanctioned or authorized under the Torah. It's sanctioned through a loophole that if he gives away the whole thing, there's no Yerusha left.
Right.
But the Matana, the Maisa, is not Minatoira. This works with Rabban. Since it works with Rabban,
Matana,
then.
Matana is a Kenyan, so it's
Hefker Bezen Hefker. It is Minatoira in a way.
Well, but not even Hefker Bezen Hefker. If he sold the property, anything, whatever, she has a lien on the Ksuba, does she have a lien on the Mezonos?
But then there's a coal. That's different. When you sell it,
Yeah, what I'm saying is there a lien on the Mezonos?
Let's take a look at the Rabban. Amalei Rava. You have about 10 lines at the bottom of the Amalei Rav. You have that?
Yes.
V'chi b'shvil sh'nesonai b'matona sh'chimra sh'ein ha'koinel medrabonon sh'ari in matona li'achan nisa ele tekonas chomhi sh'yu devorav k'chsuvim k'chsuvim tami k'dei sh'lai titrav dait olav. Now the person is about to pass away. We don't want to get agitated and irritated because we don't want to speed up chas v'shalom the moment of death. If the Chacham said, if he wants to give matona,
okay, so it's a difference now because it's shchimera, so it's only.
But only we're talking about shchimera.
Okay, exactly. But Bori would be a different story.
That was the shayla that we had a few days ago.
Okay.
What would Rabbi Yechima Breika say legabi Ebori? But we're talking about shchimera. So let's go to the next mishma. Migr gora bitmiya b'chihura koicha shal amanosei bekach hashta biyerusha diaraisa. Tell me, Makoyach Yoyrish, I'm really Yoyrish, that there is Zichsa like it, said Biamachil Hezbana. If you look at him, Rinam Mon, he's Oynis Minexia Yoyrish, even though he's getting property Menatoida. Nevertheless, Almana comes before him. So Matana Drabana, Kihach, Matana Shimra, Shema King, Elmid Rabana, Kidapricious, like Koshkin in his Oynis Mehan. And therefore, the Oylam Lav, the Hachi Nafkimina, that's not the real Chilik that Rav Huna meant between Yerush and Matan. So Vusia, getting back to our Gemara, says Rava, I'll tell you the nafkim in Elom Rava, 6 lines from the bottom. K'risholach Rav Acha Bar Rav Avi L'Dibri Rav Yechim Abroik. Nechzi Loch V'acharecha L'Ploini. We had this Gemara already a couple of days ago, that a person gave the following. Let's assume again it's talking about a Shchemara. And he says, Nechzi Loch, I'm giving my Nechosim to you, to Yankel Smith. But if and when Chas HaShem Yankel Smith, you pass away, I don't want it to go to your Yarshim. I don't know your children. I have nothing to do with them. You can have it. But after you pass away, then I want it to go to Beryl. First to Yankel, and then to Beryl. Says now, Rav Acha bar Rav Avya, in explaining Rav Yechim and Breikim, in my Yerishin, Royal Yarshim, if the next Siloch Yankel was Royal Yarshim, he was one of his sons, then Ben Habonim, or it was a girl, a daughter, Bas Ben Habonim, etc. Then after the ben or the bas passes away, that rishon passes away, it does not go to beryl to the ployni, the achrech of the ployni, but rather it stays with the yorshim of the first one, even though that was not his intention. Again, because of Yerush, exactly. Dozokte. The Dibri Birchim and Breika. Nechsiloch Vacherecha Leplaini. Im Ho Yerushin Royally Yorshe. If he's Royally Yorshe, therefore he's a Yoresh. He's a Yoresh. And the Shein Mokam Rishin Klum. Why? Shein Loshin Matana El Loshin Yerusha. Because that Loshin, when he said Nechsiloch, the Nechsiloch is, in a sense, an ambiguous or vague term.
We said it at Matana on last week when we learned this. We interpret to mean Nechsiloch was a Lashon Matana. Because it cured the Yerusha language of the other.
What our Gemara is telling us is it depends on the context. If the person that he says Nechsiloch is a potential Yoresh, like Ben Habonim, then it has the status of Yerusha. If, however, it's to an Acher, it has the status of a Matar. And so therefore, Nechse Loch V'Acherech L'Plaini, Imo Yerusha, in one second, please. Nochon. Nechse Loch V'Acherech L'Plaini, Imo Yerusha, in Roy L'Yarshay, if the first person was a Roy L'Yarshay, like a Ben Habanim, English and Imokam Risha, Klum, then the second does not receive anything post-mortem of the first. If the first one, unfortunately, Yankel Smith passed away, which was his son, Yankel passed away, it goes to Yankel's children, or his Yorshim. Why? Because in such a case, in Lashon Matana, this Nechseloch is not a Lashon Matana, since he's royally Yorshay, and Lashon Yerusha. The Yerusha ain't Lahafsik. Once you have a Yerusha, you can't stop it midstream. Once you're giving it to Yorshim, then it remains Maternus Yerusha for all generations. However, if the first one were a matana, in other words, he was a neroi liyorsha, then this would be an effective stop. Nechseloch, I first give to Yankel Smith, who's not roi liyorsha, he's a third-party friend. He gets it. After Yankel Smith passes away, then Acherecha would go to the point, he would go to the second guy, meaning to Bar. So therefore, what our Gemara is saying is, Rava is telling us with a nafkimina is if he's a Yoyrish or he is a Mekabel Matana. Yoyresh, the Acherecha doesn't work. When he said Acherecha L'Plaini, but if it's a Noisa Matani, it would work. Only Rav Lev Nachman, for Afsika, I wasn't there a Hefsik that he himself said, I don't want it to go to Yankel Smith's children, I want it to go to Beryl. The reason why he said Acherecha, because he thought you could be Mafsik. This person, the Nifter, the Shchimera, initially gave it to Ben Habonim, our Yankel Smith, who was his son. And he says, but I don't want it to go to your children. I want something to go to Beryl Jones, since he's royally Arshai, even though he, the Shchimra, thought, Yesh Lehefzik, we can go and split it down the middle. We can stop the Yerusha, but you cannot stop the Yerusha. The Bein Shalom says, once it's in the parish of Yerusha, it keeps on flowing.
But he could have given the Peres. He says, I'm going to give the...
That's a different story. Peres is a different story. We're talking vis-a-vis the property itself. And now the Gemara basically repeats this halacha. Ahudi amalei lechavrei. Nechzi loch v'acherecha leploini. He said, I'm giving first to loch. After you pass away, it goes leploini. If the rishon is really arshai, then what happens? Havishochev rishon, when the first person taka passed away, the sheni, the acherecha man said, oh, look what it said in the tzava. Nechsiloch acherecha leploini. I want to collect now. Nebuchi passed away. So Rav Ilish Kami derovel meimer sheni nami shokil. He thought as a sheni he can get because that's what it said in the tzava. Nechsiloch acherecha leploini. I'm that ploini. I'm that acherecha man. Amalei Rav told him that yoni dechatzatz tohachi daini. A person who is not, he's a damn dechatzatzta. We'll see what that means in a moment. He said, no, you're wrong. Lav haina desholach Rav Acha bar Rav Avya. Don't you remember what Rav Acha bar Rav Avya said on the Amid Aleph? That if the Rishon's royally Yorshai, it does not go to the Sheini, but it goes to the Yorshim of the Rishon. Now what means the yoni chatzatzta? So Rishbam has two pshatim over here. Third line from the Dap. The word chatzatzta is like a lotion of chotzi chotzi. Dayoni chatzatzta, dayoni pshara she'ein b'kiyin b'din, v'choytzitzin. You have dayonim who are not such great Bekiyim in Hilchis Nachlois, and so therefore, you know, let's make up Shara. Reuven, you said this, Shimon, you said that, let's kind of split it down the middle and make up Shara. That's because they're not Pakim Bedit. V'choytetzin, that's the Losh of Chatzatzta, Mechsel Ezeh, Mechsel Ezeh. Gidin Mom, Manamutl, Vesafik. That's one pshat. That pshat is already a little bit not such a complimentary pshat. V'Rabbeinu Chananel Pirish, Chatzatzta Beis HaKvaris. Exactly what the Chatzatzta, how that's related to Beis HaKvaris. I think that's because when a person is alive, some people are very wealthy and they have to have a mansion with 60 bedrooms, you know, a huge, huge... But when the person passes away, he only gets that Dalet Amis, he gets that little Chatzitza in the ground, in the grave. So he's saying the Yonah Chatzatzta, the Yonim in the grave, that's how they paskin. In other words, they're paskining in a very grave manner because they don't know the halacha. They're no longer alive to say the halacha properly. So either way, the Diyan Chatzatza is not a complimentary term. And what Rav was saying to him, Rav Ilish, I'm very sorry, you have messed up, because the halacha is like Rav Acha bar Rav Avya, that if the first person was Roli Yorshay, which was the case over here, right, on the second line, Berich and Roshay Yorshay, it does not go to the Shegi, but it goes to the Yorshim of the Rishon. Obviously, Rav Ilish Ichsif, he was embarrassed, and Rishbam says he was so embarrassed he was afraid that Rav is going to think that he's always a Dayane Chatzatzta, and he's going to say, I want to look through all of your tshuvas over the last 20 years. I'm afraid that maybe you made many, many mistakes. So therefore, to kind of comfort him and to be Menachem, to make him feel better, Kari Aleh, he said to him, No, Ani Hashem Be'ita Achishan. I, Rav, am convinced, Rav Ilish, that you always paskin correctly, and that this was the lone exception, and because you're such an Erlech Hayid, you're such a Tzaddik, the Bein Yishloim sent me as the Shliach to correct you in this lone occasion. Normally, I've never been involved in any of your Dintaitis, in any of your Piskei Din, because you always paskin correctly. I'm sure your Psakim are Ungenum and accepted by the whole world, because you're a first-class Grandmaster Dayan. In this particular case, you made a mistake, and therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu sent me as a Yeshua to go and fix up this lone case. Let's look at the Rishbam. Ichsif. See about the second of the, third of the narrow lines. Ichsif Rav Ilish Meirova. Penyoy Meirova, believer. Maybe Rav is thinking in his mind. Iloyisi Bekan, Hoyedon Din Sheker. Vachin Koldinim Shudon Shloy Befanai. Who knows how many Din Toydas that he's already messed up? That's what Rav Ilish was embarrassed about. He wasn't embarrassed just about this psik of psak. Okay, so he didn't know, he didn't hear of this psak of Rav Avya, Avacha Barav Barav Avya. After all, nothing was printed at the time. There were no art scroll gemaras. He hadn't heard about this. But he was afraid that Rav was going to be mefakbek about all his dintars. So Rav, Korolov Rav Lenachma, he wanted to comfort him, and he said, Ani Hashem b'ita achishana, b'eisha tzadikim tzrichim Yeshua. When a tzaddik needs a Yeshua, Kadosh Baruch Hu mamtzi lehem. Kadosh Baruch Hu figures out a way to get the Yeshua to the tzaddik. Afata, and yedei b'choshem oylam libasa din tekala yarech. I'm convinced that you never did a din tekala. Everything was always perfect. Shari achshav simnani liya Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu pink in this case? I should fall into this whole discussion with Rav Ilish. Kadosh Baruch Hu sent me special. So that you shouldn't chas v'shalom be nichshol in this particular case. And therefore I'm convinced that everything you did until now was 1,000% okay.
Very nice.
Okay. So it was a nice Baruch Hashem, a nice ending to the story. Very good. There's a story which is somewhat similar. They tell about that there was a lady after the war that she got married, and then ultimately her original husband came back after the war. And now she's in Tsaris, right? Because
she has children.
I don't know about the
question.
But she did remarry. So she came tearfully to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and she said to Rav Moshe, the reason why I remarried, because I had a het raguna from this and this rabbi, and he told me, based on the circumstances, that she can go and remarry. So what am I supposed to do? So Rav Moshe said, tell me all the facts of the situation. Where was this? When did this take place? Who did you speak to? What the rabbi? What the whole thing? So she went through the whole thing, the whole 9 yards, A to Z. This is when it happened. This is when I found out about it. I went to the rabbi. After she was finished, Rav Moshe said, Can you please repeat the whole story again from beginning to end? And she starts repeating the whole thing again. This happened in this date, and I was married to this one, and then afterwards I couldn't find him, and I heard a koyel that he had passed away, and I asked the rabbi, and then I got remarried. Moshe said, could you repeat the whole story a third time? And of course, all the Talmidim were sitting there in the Bezdin or whatever, and wondering. The Moshe was a very, very gentle, very edle person by nature. Why is he causing her this suffering, this sorrow? And she repeated a third time. After she repeated a third time, he said, I'd like you to repeat the story a fourth time. Right. Anyway, by the fourth time, the fifth time, she totally broke down, and she said, the whole story was a bubamasa. She didn't know that rabbi, she never went to him, and the whole thing was
a
scam.
She gave herself a heter to remarry without any authority.
Anyway, so after she left,
how did
you sense that? So Rav Moshe said, I knew that rabbi.
You'll never do.
I myself, said Rav Moshe, I was matter, I think, 187 agunas after the war, and Baruch Hashem, I never had a michshol in any of them. In other words, we never had a situation for a horrid brachot. I knew that rabbi, and he was very, very, very choshev. I don't know what the name of that rabbi was. And if I never had a michshol, I'm sure he never had a michshol. So I knew the story was a b'mamas. It could not be that this rav was michshol. I knew the whole thing was made up. That's why I wanted to repeat it again and again until she finally confessed that the whole thing was...
But he didn't know who the rabbi was?
He did know who the rabbi was.
He knew the rabbi, and he said, if I never had a michshul, I'm sure he never had a michshul, because he was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, he's a great tzaddik, and Kodesh Baruch Hu would not have allowed him to have such a michshul. So I knew that when she made reference to this rabbi, I don't remember what the rabbi's name was, I knew the whole thing was a bubba myself. And in fact, was the that's why you wanted to repeat again and again until she herself confessed.
To break her down.
I'm going to use that because I know when they know someone's lying.
Exactly.
I want that.
Instead of being beating her up.
Repeat the lie.
No, but then in trial, they say, Your Honor, this guy is.
Did you want the explanation?
What? No, this is fine.
You came on time for a mission.
Matzah minas minai, right?
Thank you.
Okay, so let's go on. The good news is that the next Mishnah and the next Gemara is much simpler. Not necessarily are the facts a very happy fact pattern, but it's a much simpler Gemara. Zok the Mishnah. Hakoysev is nechosim l'achir. V'niach es bonav. Person gave away his nechosim to others, and he left his sons behind. And he did it b'loshoin matana. You recall that even according to Rabbanan, not according to Rabbi Yechim, even according to Rabbanan, couldn't Rabbi Yechaman Nuri allowed to go and favor one son among others? Then Ben Abanam, sorry?
B'toras Yerusha.
B'toras Yerusha. According to Chacham, you can't do the B'toras Yerusha, but you can go and do B'toras Matana. That's a legal loophole because he's giving everything away, and therefore there's nothing left for the Banam. So Koiz Nechoiz L'Acherim, before he passes away, he says, I'm giving all of my Nechosim to Yankel Beros Shmerel, V'niach Es Banam. And he left his sons behind. Masha Osu Osu, what he did was effective, legally, the rabbis are not happy with what he did. The reason is because he's being oiker the nachlam and a Torah. The legal loophole is valid, but the Torah says when a person passes away, he's supposed to give to his sons. No sons, give to his daughters. No daughters, give to the father. By doing this legal loophole and giving him a matana, what he did is legal, but the chum are not happy with what he did. What happens if the boys are all off the derech? They are bad boys. They don't have respect for people. They don't have respect for Rabbi Nishalaylam. They are totally bad. What he did is a good thing. He should, in fact, give it la'achirim. That's what Reb Shimon Gamliel says. The question is, what does the Tanakhama hold in Reb Shimon Gamliel's halacha? Does he agree with him? Or does he disagree?
Well,
we're going to talk about that shortly. Please hold that for yourself for a moment. But in the meantime, we want to know, what does the Tana Kama hold? Do they agree? Or do they disagree? In other words, even though the Chum said, in the Tana Kama said, it could be only because the boys are performing the way they should. They're coming to davening every day. They're learning Torah every day. They're learning the daf. They're respectful. They're shomer Torah mitzvahs. They're honest people with high standards of integrity. Then ein rucham noichemenu. But if the bonim are not learning geshura, let them go to etc. And therefore zochel atay. So what do their bonim hold? Toshima. So Gemara tells us a fascinating story. The Yosef ben Yoezer, Hoyeloi ben, Shloi Hoyenoi Keshura. Yeah, the Yosef. Exactly. Assuming that it's the same one, presumably it is, because that's an unusual name, Yosef ben Yoezer. Exactly. Anyway, he had a son, Shloi Hoyenoi Keshura. So you see, the problem of OTD children is not something new. Ein lecha chodesh tachas v'shamish. Everything has a precedent. Everything has happened in the past.
Nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new under the sun, especially since we're talking about sons. Yeah, very good. The oizim in the ezra hayale ben shloi hayanoi kishura. So havale elisa de dinri. Now, what exactly means elisa? Normally, an elisa would mean an aliyah. Aliyah would mean an attic. And you have an attic full of dinrim.
Wow.
An attic full of dinrim? Wow. So the top toises, Rishbam doesn't comment on the word Elisa, but the top toises says, nah, near Rabbeinatam she'ein lefarish Elisa aliyah mamish. That would be guzma kama. That would be a real exaggeration. Full attic, full attic.
Full down.
Full down. Anyway, so therefore he says, probably what you'd go and say is that nearly, on the fourth line, the kach near loy, Elisa is kli she'avim boy yayin v'shemim. It was a kli that they used to use like a bucket to go and draw wine or to draw shemen or oil. In other words, presumably you had this large cask full of wine or full of oil and you needed something to go and draw it. So yeah, this kli, that's Elisa. Okay. Anyway, so he had this such a large kli full of dinrim and he was afraid that he will pass away and it's going to go to that ben, Shloi Hayanoi Kishura. So what did he do? Come Akdash. He was Makdash the whole thing for the Beis HaMikdash. He gave it to the Gizmo and he says, it's all yours. Okay, nothing left. Ozel Nosiv Bas Nadal Klili Diyani Malka. Eventually, this son needed to get married and he found the Shidduch. And who did he marry? He married Bas Godil. The Bas Godel Klili, the Yani Malka. Yani Malka, of course, was the Yani HaMelech. The Godel Klili means the one that would weave and embroider and put together a beautiful crown. See, he was the crown maker for Yani HaMelech, and that was his Shver. He married the daughter of the crown maker for Yani HaMelech. Okay, fine, beautiful. Oyelida de Bisu, ultimately, 9 months later, a year later, whenever, she had a baby. So now, what does a husband give a wife when she has a baby?
A present.
What present did he give her? Zavin la binisa. He bought for her a fish. Heidemann thinks that fish is a present.
Something's fishy.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds fishy. It could be that he didn't mean this as a birthday, not a birthday present for his wife. Mm-hmm. It could be the binisa was, he felt that this would be nourishing fish. For Kiddush, okay, but nourishing for her and for the baby, eating good, fresh fish, maybe that would be good for her system, whatever. Anyway, we can't go and eat the fish raw, so Kara, I mean, today you eat it in sushi, but in the good old days, people knew you had to go and cook fish. So what did you do? So Kara, she cut open the fish, and Ashkech bo Margalisa, and she found it in a gem. Wow! Now we got something. Umrele, she said to her husband now, this Margolius looks like it's worth a lot of money. There are only two games in town, people that are, number one, Bekiyim, experts, as well as are in need of such gemstones from time to time. Who are those two? Number one would be the Melech, which I'm familiar with because my father was the crown maker for the king. He would know that the king needs extra jewels and extra gems from time to time to put into his crowns, etc. As well as the other alternative, as we'll see in another couple of lines, to give it to the Gizbar of the Beis HaMikdash, because from time to time they need new stones for the Ephod and for the Choshen. Like the Gemara says that they went to Dama Ben Asina to get one of the stones, and Dama Ben Asina wouldn't give it because the father was sleeping, etc., etc. Yes. Anyway, so she gives now the advice to her husband. Don't take this stone to the Melech to go and have it appraised, and they'll tell you how much it's worth, and then you'll sell it to them. Because they're going to shatz it up, they're going to appraise it for much less than it's worth. maybe it's worth $1 million, and they're going to say, it's worth maybe $100,000, $200,000. Mm-hmm. And since you don't need this gemstone, we'll buy it from you, and we'll give you $100,000.
They're the force of arms behind it to make the sale.
Exactly. Instead, Zil Amti Legabe Gizbari, go rather to the Gizbari, the base of Megdish, and tell them you have this stone. And don't say on your own, you think it's worth $1 million. Because as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, he intended giving some of the value of this stone to the Beis HaMikdash. And so therefore, if you're going to say that it's worth $1 million and you're giving it, your amir alone is going to have magical effect, as if you gave it already. It's going to be too late. Ella rather l'shemu inu. Go and show it to the Gizbar without opening your mouth. Just say to him, Gizbar, how much do you think this gemstone is worth? And then he's going to go and tell you with all honesty what it's worth. So he listened to his wife's Eitzah, right? Imlech b'debisu. He listened to the wife's Eitzah and he went to the Gizbar. And he said to the Gizbar, can you tell me how much this gemstone is worth? And the Gizbar looks at it and he says, wow, Shamua, b'tleisri eliyasa de dinri, 13 such containers of dinrin. Wow, that's a huge amount. Dinri, by the way, normally means gold dinri, because otherwise it would say dinri kesef. If it's a dinri, it usually means got zav. So we're talking about a huge fortune. And now the person says to the Gizbar, can you use this? Avad, I can use it. I can use it either for the choshen or the eifite. And the Rishbam points out, although this is talking about the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, where unfortunately there was no longer the Urim V'tumim that you can go and ask questions of. However, you still had the choshen and the ephod because you had to have those begotten because the
Yom Kippur.
Number one, well, with the other way around. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be mishamish throughout the year without his shmoyne begotten. So you have to have a full-fledged choshen the ephod, and if one of the stones is now worn out or it's no longer pretty, we have to go and replace it. Presumably had to replace these things from time to time. And so therefore he is willing to go and buy, the Gizbar willing to buy for the Beis Medrash, for the Kohen Gadol, even though the Urim Turim is no longer working, but you still have to have the full Shmoyne Begodim of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so now he asked the Gizbar, are you willing to buy it? Amri Leh, he said, yes, I am willing to buy it, however, I don't have so much money in the treasury. Sheva Ikka, I only have 7 Elisa de Dinri, Shisleka, but I don't have 6. I can't afford to pay 13. So Amalahu, so now this son of Yosef ben Yezer said to him, you know what? Sheva Havali, give me the 7 that you have, and Shis Harayim Mukdash the Shemoyim. The other 6 I leave
keep
for you.
Change.
Keep the change, which is, of course, a lot of change. 6 Elisa, that's yours, that belongs to the Shemoyim. Okay, that's the end of the story. Now the Gemara says that they kept records of these things, and the purpose of the records was not only to go and show that, you know, the Gizbar of the Beis Medrash is being honest, the income and the expenses and the liabilities and blah, 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 but also where it was a good idea, they would throw in a Musa Haskel, that people for future generations could learn something from this. So Amdu V'Kosvu, who the Amdu V'Kosvu, Rishbam says, the Chachmei Hador. Presumably it wasn't that they themselves wrote it, but it was under their aegis, under their auspices. What did they write? Yosef ben Yezer hichnis achas. Yosef ben Yezer himself gave the 1 elisa de dinri that he owned, he gave it to the Beis Medrash. Ubenoy and his son outdid the father, hichnis sheish. He gave a present of 6 elisa to the Beis Medrash. You know what Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Noyach says, yesh mafosh, yesh marmisei nedorsh and lishmach, the Yesha Dorshan Lignite. It says Tzadik Hoibet Eroisav. How do you interpret that? Do you mean a Noyach Damadach in the times of the Dorim Abel, he was a Tzadik? Certainly in the times of Ram Avinu, he'd been a much greater Tzadik. That, of course, is the Shvach. Or Lignai, he was only a Tzadik in his door. If he'd be a Ram Avinu, he would just be any Tom, Dick, and Harry or Noah. No special shakes.
Ricky Goldfarb pointed out many years ago to me, he says, the Yesh Rabbe Seinu is on the Shvach. You know, so it seems there's an inclination to say it was Lishvach, because Yesh Rabbe Seinu was on the Shvach, not on the Gnai.
So what Barry's pointing out is something very, very true, that Rashi, when he says that, he says, most people, when they quote it, they misquote it, say, Yesh Dorshan Lishvach, V'Yesh Dorshan Gnai. Rashi says, Yesh Rabbe Seinu Dorshan Lishvach, V'Yesh Dorshan Gnai. So I don't know what Dr. Goldfarb said, but they say, B'Shem the Kotzker, that the Kotzker says, what Rashi's telling us is a very subtle message. The Torah itself doesn't say what it means, whether noyach l'shvach or l'gnai. It leaves it up to us. 50-50. Maybe it's a shvach, maybe l'gnai. What the Torah is telling us is a subtle, what Rashi is telling, a subtle message. If you have a chance to go and judge someone and you don't know anything about it, you could judge them favorably or unfavorably. Mm-hmm. Our Rebbe told us, your Rebbe Seinu, always be dorish l'shvach. Why should you go and say something negative about a person that you don't know? It's a clean slate. Is he good? Is he bad? If I have nothing to say about him, say something good. Mm-hmm. If you don't have anything to say, then just keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. So that's Yesh Rebbe Seinu. Always be dorish l'shvach. Those that are dorish l'gnai, those are yesh. Those, you know, those are the people in the back of the bus that always like to go and mock and denigrate anybody and everybody. But if you have a chance, go be dorish l'shvach. Anyway, so what's the point? Why am I saying this? Because this version was l'shvach. What they're saying, Yosef Niezer gave one, but his son, who he thought was an OTD guy, he gave six. The ikli ami others say Yosef Niezer hichnis achas. The father brought in one, and the son took out seven, based on the sale of that gem. Zokti Mar, Midik Amri Hichnis. Since according to the first version, it says that he brought in six. Why was that necessary to tell us that whole elaborate? He gave one, he gave six. Mechlal deshaper avad. What the father did in donating that one elisa dinri, he did well. What do you mean he did well? Says Rishbam, in the schus that he gave all of that tzedakah to the Beis HaMikdash, he had a skula, he had a schus, schar, Kadosh Baruch Hu made that his son should go back on the right path, and he should also be charitable and give so much money to the Beis HaMikdash, and presumably his other masim also turned out for good. Oh, so the father did the right thing in disowning and disinheriting his son and giving it all to the Beis HaMikdash. But other rabba, according to the second version, the fact that it says that the son took out seven, that's not even really fair, because after all, he gave them this diamond, this gem, and he's getting seven out of 13. But the fact that that's the way they characterized and they wrote it, lav shapar ovid, they were kind of giving a little bit of a rebuke to Yosef ben Yezer. You shouldn't have done that. You should have given him his share of the Arusha and not given everything away to the Gitra. Now, since you can teach it one way or the other way, it's like we have often in Mishnayos, we try to bring a Reisha in one direction, a Seifa in the other direction. And we hold Lekel Mashmina. From the Reisha, I could have brought a Raya. And from the Seifa, I have a contrary Raya. So what Raya do we want to bring? What do the Chachmi Ador think? Is it a good thing, like Reb Shimon Gamliel says, "Im loy hayabanim nehang geshura zochel l'toyv"? Is it a good idea to rather give it to Acherim, like in our case, giving it to the Gizra Beis Hamikdash, or is that not a good thing? So we thought we could bring a raya from the way this is structured in the archives of the Beis Hamikdash. Says, "Well, you have no raya, because if you learn it one way, you have a raya. If you learn it the other way, you don't have a raya." It was
Aksum. It's unfair to, because I looked it up, and it's Yosef ben Yezer, not Yosef.
So
it's not necessarily, though the names are very similar, and very often Rabbi Yossi is a diminutive of Yosef, but the Pirkei Avos calls Yossi ben Yezer, not Yosef ben Yezer.
So it could be somebody else.
It could be somebody else.
Very good. Okay. That's very good to know. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so therefore, we wanted to be poshut. What do the Tanakhama hold? Do they agree to Rav Shimon Gamliel? You should disinherit a bad son? Is that Zochel HaToyv or not? We have no right. May have you lost to bring me another raya? Toshima, the Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shmuel said, Rav Yehuda, Shinana, you sharp one, to Pshatim and sharp one. Wait to heavy bay avure achsanta. You should never participate. You should never be in the bay, means like the bias, avure achsanta, where they are transferring Yerusha to someone that normally would not receive it, min ha-toyre. In other words, like the case of our Mishnah, that a person is giving away a b'matana nechosim li'acherim, and he's disowning or disinheriting his children. Don't do that. You should not be part of that assemblage when that occurs. Even if it involves a case where he's disowning or disinheriting the bad son and giving everything to the good son, don't participate. Don't be involved. The koshkim ibra lebrata. Certainly, if you're talking about taking away from a son and giving it to a daughter, even if you're doing it legally through the form of a matana, but don't do it. Like the Tanakhama of our Mishnah said, "Ein ruach acham noichem menu," and he's specifically saying, even from a bra bisha lebra tava. So therefore, it sounds like the Tanakhama, or at least what Shmuel is telling Rav Yehuda, is Rav the Tanakhama disagrees with our Reb Shimon Gamliel, and he holds that do not take away Yerusha from children, even if the children are unfortunately not Noeg Keshura. So before we continue on, it would seem therefore that Shmuel is passing the Tanakhama, not like Reb Shimon Gamliel, and Barry already said 10 minutes ago, don't we always pass like Reb Shimon Gamliel in all cases except for
right,
three?
Right, Arev and
Tzidon.
Good.
Says as Reish Ba'am, apparently Shmuel disagrees with that, because after all, that was Reb Yoichanan that said that we always pass like Reb Shimon Gamliel b'chol mokayim. But Shmuel doesn't hold to that cloud. If you look at the Reish Ba'am, Torah Shema the Omalei Shmuel, you see about 10 lines from the bottom. Alma pli Rabban Alei. Obviously, the Rabbanan argue with Reb Shimon Gamliel. Medikam is Shmuel Achi, because Shmuel passed him like that. Tiloi Temachi, Shmuel the Amr Keman. How is Shmuel following if the Tanakam and Reb Shimon Gamliel both agree that if the Banav are not Noi Kishura, Zochel Atoiv, give it away to somebody else, give it to a good son? So why is he telling Rav Yehuda, don't be there in, as part of the assembly when he's giving it away? If anything, he should probably be applauding. He should say, the Tanakhama holds that way.
Well, there's a difference between Achir and another Yoresh. The Gemals were giving are between a Bratova, a Brabisha, but in any case, giving to an Achir. And that's a little bit even stronger. That's even...
Apparently, the Gemara does not feel as strongly about you about that distinction.
Okay.
Anyway, and continuing, now the key for what your purpose is, we pass the Tanakama. Even when the Bonim are not Noi Kishura, give the sons, don't disinherit them. Come Shmuel Kavasayu. Shmuel doesn't hold like that. The Gamrava also disagrees. Anyway, so that you are famous in always saying we always pass Reb Shimon Gamliel, I'll leave it Reb Yochanan, but not according to Shmuel. That's a separate story. Our Gemara, I understand. Turn Rabban. Mas be adam echshvali hoi ban of Nohen Kishura. Oi, now what are we going to do? Ome because of the chasli Yonasim ben Uziel. He went and gave all the chasli Yonasim ben Uziel. We're going to talk about Yonasim ben Uziel tomorrow at greater length. He was a Talmud of Hillel HaZaken. So this person had children who were not Nohen Kishura. I'm not going to give my money to them. And he gave it to Yonasim ben Uziel. Ma'os Yonasim ben Uziel. What did Yonasim ben Uziel now do? Of this large estate that he received, Mochashlish, he sold a third of it, liquidated it. The Hikdishlish, and a third of it he gave for Hegdish, in other words, he gave it to the Gizban Besamigdish, if that was still around. If not, he gave it for Tzedakah. The Hechzel Abanav Shlish, and then he gave back a third of it, He gave to those children that had been disinherited by the father initially. Bolav Shammai. Shammai was very upset. He came to Makli V'Tarmiloi. Makli V'Tarmiloi gives that sound as if he's far away, and he's took with him his backpack and together with his some food and walking stick, you know, because he was upset. And Shammai said to him, Mister, why do you think the father disinherited and gave all the money to you? You think it's because he wanted you to go and give back to this kids? He didn't want the kids. Well, what do you do? Amalei, so now Yonasim Nazir is saying to Shammai, if you want to go and reverse what I did, fine. Reverse the mechiras that I did, reverse the tzedakas, the hegdish that I gave, and then you can go and reverse the fact that I gave chazora a third to the kit. Be'imalav, if you're not able to go and reverse the mechira and the hegdish, it's too late. Mekengor nishton, I gave it to them. Why? What is Yonasim ben Uziel trying to give them the message? He's trying to go and say, if he gave it to me, lock, stock, and barrel, without any conditions attached, I have the right to do everything. If he didn't want me to go and give it to the Bonim, he should have said something. The reason I'm giving it to Yonasim ben Uziel, because I don't want to give it to any of my Bonim. Since he didn't say anything, it belongs to me. And
it's
just
my discretion, and that's it.
Exactly. Just like you cannot reverse my Mechira and my Hekdish, you can't reverse the Chazor either.
But it's implicit.
It wasn't legally binding.
Exactly. And therefore says the Gemara, Omar, so the Shammai says, Itiachalai ben Uziel. He, ben Uziel, is correct. Rishbam says he's using a Lashon, but he means to say, Nitzchani, Bani, Nitzchani, he's right, I cannot reverse it, and therefore it'll stay like that. The children will receive their third. Why did he think otherwise differently, that he came in Maklev Tamilai? Because of the Masa of Beis Choyroim, which Mitchum we're going to learn tomorrow.